I want to start off with a few questions this morning. Question number one, and don't answer these out loud, just these are questions for you to mull over in your mind. Have you ever wished that you were stronger in faith than you are? Surely you have. There's not a day that goes by that I don't wish and don't desire and don't strive to be stronger in faith than I was the day before. So surely we all want to be stronger in our faith. We have examples in the Bible that tell us how to be stronger. One of those is Abraham. Have you ever wondered what took him from the questioning doubter to the point that he was fully persuaded that what God said he would do, he would do? Something had to happen, because at one point in Abraham's life, and we're going to talk about this in a little more depth in a second, but at one point in his life he said, God, how will I know? How do I know that you're going to do what you said you would do? Folks, that's not a statement of faith. Then we see him get to the point that the Bible says in Romans 4:21 that he was fully persuaded. So how do you go from there to here? We're going to talk about that. He even got to the point that he was so persuaded that he was willing to sacrifice Isaac. Now let me say this about that. This isn't my message for today, but it touches on it. A lot of times you hear people say, oh, Abraham was struggling so bad. He just couldn't imagine God asking him to give up his only son. The Bible does not say that. It says, by faith, Abraham told the men, me and the boy are going to go yonder and sacrifice. We will be back. He was not lamenting over this. He knew God was going to do what God said he would do. But he got to that point. Now, there is one thing that will help you to be stronger in faith. It will help you to be bold in your faith. And it's probably not what you think it is. I know some of you are sitting there thinking, well, here goes Brother Greg again on, you need to read your Bible. Well, that's a good preaching topic. You do need to read your Bible. But that's not the topic of the day. The topic of the day is something that you need to get a firm understanding of. And again, you're not going to get it all today. But you need to really dig until this gets down into your heart and down into your soul and down into your spirit, because we don't hear a lot about this subject today. We're going to look at what took Abraham from being a doubter to Abraham, the father of faith. And I like the title that God gave me, How to Have the Abraham Kind of Faith. And again, you're not going to start off with that kind of strong faith. You have to get there over a process, and the understanding of today's message is really going to help you to get there. Now turn with me to Genesis chapter 15. I know some of you are already thinking, well, why couldn't Brother Greg put this message in a minute and 45 seconds like the lady did? In Genesis chapter 15 is the question and the answer to what we're going to be looking at today. And I want you to bear with me. I'm going to be reading several verses here. Starting in verse 1 of chapter 15, it says, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is Eleazar of Damascus? And Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. Now listen to the promise here. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. Let me stop right there a second. How old is Abraham? He's old, isn't he? How old is Sarah? She's old. How many kids have they had up to this point? Zero. Zero. And yet God said, that the one born in thy house shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thy own bowels shall be thine heir. So that is an amazing promise to an old couple that has gone childless their whole life. God even takes it a step further in verse 5. God brought forth Abram and brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And remember, they have zero kids. And Abram believed in the Lord, and he counted it unto him for righteousness. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. Here's the question Abram had. And Abram said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? There's the question. Abram is not a father of faith at this point, is he? If he was, he would have said, God, I believe your word. I'm standing firm on your word. So be it, just as you said. But he didn't. He said, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? Here's God's answer to Abram and to us. And God said unto him, take me a heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he took unto him all these, and divided them in the midst, and laid each piece one against the other, but the birds he divided not. Everybody got that? Is that clear? If you understood that, come on up here and explain it. No, I'm kidding about that. But that was his answer. And folks, that's his answer to us. We in Western civilization don't understand that, do we? Well, let's go on down and see what he has to say. The rest of this, we're going to skip part of. Let's go on down to verse 17 and 18. And it came to pass, actually, let's go back to 13. Well, let's start, go back to 11. There's things in here we don't need to miss. And when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abram drove them away. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram. In other words, God knocked him out. And lo and horror, a great darkness fell upon him. And God said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them for 400 years. We know that he's telling Abram that Israel is going to go into bondage in Egypt. That's what that's all about. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterwards shall they come out with great substance. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace, thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. Now listen to verse 17. See if this clears it up any for you. And it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. And verse 18, in the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river of Euphrates. Now, folks, you're probably questioning me at this point, but what's going to take us from being weak in faith to strong in faith was in those verses. And I know we're all sitting here going, I don't get it. Well, I don't want you to feel bad this morning that you don't get it, okay? Because most Western civilized people do not get it. But we need to get it. Because it is biblical, it is very vital and crucial for us to understand. Now, again, I know you're not going to get it all this morning. But I encourage you and I exhort you to go home and study this until you get it. Because what changed Abram from being weak in faith to being strong in faith was when God cut a blood covenant with Abram. Now see, we here in America, and in fact all of the Western civilization, we know very little about blood covenants. They are vital, and I'm going to be giving you some information on them here in just a moment, but I can promise you, Abraham understood the blood covenant. Jesus' disciples understood the blood covenant. Remember when they were sitting at the Last Supper? And Jesus said, "This is my body broken for you. Eat of it. And this is my body, my blood. Drink ye all of it." Not a one of them stood up and said, "He's a lunatic. What's he talking about? Eat his flesh and drink his blood." They understood the blood covenant. We in the Western civilization have been hindered from knowing what the Bible is all about by not understanding the blood covenant. Now, let me give you some information concerning blood covenants. And again, this is just barely touching the tip of the iceberg. But blood covenants are practiced in every nation of the world, showing that they came from a central source, which would be who? God. All the way back to the Garden of Eden, you can find blood covenants. A blood covenant is a strong covenant. It's not like signing a contract here in the U.S. You can break a contract. You cannot break a blood covenant. If you break it, the penalty is death. It is so strong that if you break it, you don't have to worry about who's going to turn you in. Your family's going to turn you in, because if they don't turn you in, they die as well. In a blood covenant, several things happen. Number one, all things become common. In fact, marriages used to be done, weddings used to be done as a blood covenant ceremony. The bride and the groom would go through the ceremony and actually cut their fingers and bleed their blood together and become blood covenant partners. Boy, if we had that in America today, that'd be great, wouldn't it? You can break a marriage so easy anymore, it's ridiculous. But a blood covenant, all things become common. What is yours is now mine. What is mine is now yours. Remember we sing that song, "I Surrender All"? Well, when we make a blood covenant with God, we do surrender all, whether we realize it or not. And God has already given us all that he has. You can read over in Romans 8:31. He said, if he gave Jesus Christ for us, will he not freely also give us all things? That's part of that blood covenant. A blood covenant is actually stronger than family ties. Blood brothers are sworn to be together until death do us part. If you are a blood brother with somebody, you know that they are going to stand with you even if it means their death. In a blood covenant, the weaker is now protected by the stronger. Can you see where this is going? God tells us all through the Bible, "I am your protector." That's because of the blood covenant. The weaker also now has the authority of the stronger. Whose authority do we act in? God's authority. We got that because of the blood covenant. And I realize, folks, that this is new to a lot of you. And I realize you may leave here this morning with more questions than you have answers. And I really hope you do, because that means you're going to go home and you're going to start digging for your own and find out exactly what we have. Because, like I said earlier, we here in America don't understand the blood covenant like we should. But when you start studying it out and you find that this is an absolute covenant. Absolute covenant. It is stronger than family ties. It's stronger than the blood family that you were born into. Because like I said earlier, if you make a blood covenant and you break it, your family will turn you in. In a blood covenant, you also cannot lie to your blood brother. If you lie to your blood brother, you will die. That's why God, the Word tells us that God cannot lie. It's not that he won't. He can't. Because he's our blood covenant partner. I hope that you're starting to see why Abram was able to become fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was not only able to do, but that he would do. Now, let me answer one quick question for you before we move on. We are very, 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 very fortunate. In our case, our blood covenant is between God the Father and God the Son. That's why it cannot be broken. We are accepted into the blood covenant when we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior. Remember, he was our sacrifice. He stood in our stead. He took our penalty. He paid our price. He receives us into the blood covenant when we receive him. So that the covenant is between God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son, and therefore it cannot be broken. Now, if we get out of the blood covenant through sin, the Bible tells us that we can get right back into it by repenting. I don't know about you, but I like that. We don't have to die because we broke the covenant, because the covenant is not dependent upon us. It's been dependent upon God and Jesus. And again, that's one of those things you need to, again, study out a little bit further. But getting back to Abram, once God cut the blood covenant with him, Abram understood that they were now blood covenant partners. Abram at that point, his name was changed later. Abram understood that he was now a blood brother to God Almighty. Let that sink in for a second. Abram, a weak, frail individual. When God came to him and said, Abram, I'm going to make a blood covenant with you, changed Abram forever. He was able to go from saying, how shall I know that this will be, to being fully persuaded. And folks, the reason today we're not fully persuaded is we don't understand our blood covenant. Abram was a blood brother with God. I have even better news for you. We have even a better covenant than Abram had. We have the new covenant. If you look in your Bible, you have the Old Testament and the New Testament. Well, that word testament is kind of deceiving, and I really wish they hadn't used that. When I say it's deceiving, it doesn't give us the full picture, because it's really the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. We have a new covenant. And ours is so much better than Abram's was. Abram's was secured by the blood of animals. Folks, ours is secured by a better sacrifice, which is Jesus Christ himself. He took his blood and he laid it upon the mercy seat in heaven. And God said, redemption has been paid for. This blood is sufficient for me to make a blood covenant with mankind that cannot be broken. And it is an eternal covenant. Jesus is the surety of our covenant. Boy, there's so much I'd like to say. I can promise you this. Once you get an understanding of what the blood covenant means and what it means to you, and what you have because of the blood covenant, then you're going to be just like Abram. You're going to go from weak in faith to being strong and being bold in faith. And am I to that point yet? I'm not near where I want to be, but folks, I'm a whole lot closer than I used to be. Because the more I study this blood covenant, and the more I get an understanding of it, and the more that I see what God did for me, that he was willing to come down and make a blood covenant oath with me through Jesus Christ, that is overwhelming to me. And I can get bold in my faith because of what he did for me. I am a blood covenant partner
with God. That's powerful. That's powerful.
You can get to the point that you will be fully persuaded
that what God said He would do, He'll do.
And again, I know you're not going to get a complete understanding of this today. But by now, you should be motivated to go out on your own and to study this out. To really see what we have as children of God. It's a whole lot deeper than we think it is. And I can promise you this. When you understand who you are, when you understand that you are a blood covenant partner with God, and that Jesus is your blood brother, it'll make even the meekest, most backward Free Will Baptist in the world shout. Because folks, this will change your life. This tells you why God does what He says He would do. This tells you why you can be absolutely fully persuaded and that you can stand on His promises with absolute certainty. If we couldn't do that, then you couldn't be saved. If you didn't know for sure that God's promises were true, you could never come up here in faith and receive Him as your Savior, because you'd come up here to the altar and going, boy, I sure hope God's in a good mood today. God, are you saving people today? Good, good. Today's the day. No, that's not the case. We can come up here and stand on His word, and it says, if I will confess my sins and if I'll confess you as Jesus, as Lord, then I will be saved. We know if we do that, we are saved because God's word is true based on the blood covenant oath that we have with Him. And guess what? It works for everything else in His word just like it works for salvation. That's why we really need to understand it and get it deep down into our spirit. Get out your Bible, research everything you can on the blood and on the covenant. Read books by people that have studied this in depth. Folks, there's a ton of knowledge and wisdom out there that we need to get and get this down into our heart. We are so close. We are so close. We sing songs about the blood. There's power in the blood. And Bill sung one this morning. I forget exactly which one that was, but it talked about the blood. Our invitation song today is going to be talking about the blood. So we sing about the blood. We know that it is important, but we just don't know how important that it is. We have some comprehension that the blood of Jesus was necessary for us to be saved because we know without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. We just don't understand that it even goes a step further than that. It's not just the remission of our sins. It's that blood covenant partnership with God Almighty. That's why Jesus had to shed His blood. To consummate that covenant. Most Christians do not understand what we have because of the blood covenant, because most Christians don't even have a clue that we have a blood covenant. If I had taken a survey at the very beginning of this service and had you mark on a sheet that says, blood covenant, yes, we have one, no, we don't, if we do, who's it with? I think I'd be safe in assuming maybe 1% of us would get it. But folks, it's so important. We all need to get it. It will take us from being weak to being strong. And it's not only time that we realize that we have a blood covenant, but it's time to discover what is ours because of the blood covenant. The blood covenant is so vital. If it wasn't for the blood covenant, Abram would have been petrified of taking Isaac to the altar. He would have been doing exactly what we normally hear preached. Oh God, this is my only son. How could you ever ask me to sacrifice my only son? You promised me this, son. God, how could you ask me to do this? If it wasn't for the blood covenant, that would have been the conversation. But because of the blood covenant, Abraham was saying, I don't know how you're going to do it. The Bible even says that Abram said, if God has to raise him up from the dead, we're coming back. Abram knew he had a blood covenant, and therefore he could be fully persuaded. He could be strong in faith. It even says that Abram got to the point that he didn't consider the deadness of Sarah's womb. He didn't consider the deadness of his own body. I can see Abraham getting so excited. Here, him and Sarah have been childless forever. And he goes into Sarah one night and goes, you ain't going to believe it, honey. We're going to have a baby. And I can imagine she looked at him going, you've got to be kidding. But folks, guess what? God's word came true. They had a baby. And their seed has become like the stars in the sky and like the sand of the sea. Their seed is a blessed seed. And we could go on into that. We're not going to go there, but let me say this real quick. You are part of that seed. No, we're not Jewish, but the Bible says that we are seed of Abraham through Jesus Christ. So everything that was promised to Abraham's seed is promised to us as well. And we need to have the faith to believe that God will do what he promised he would do. Amen. Again, that goes all the way from salvation to everything else in the Word of God. And if we have a strong faith based upon the fact that we understand our blood covenant, then we will be fully persuaded. Bill, if you would, come on up with a song of invitation. Let me share this one last thought with you. And I worded it this way intentionally, and I think you'll understand it when I explain it to you. I want to encourage you to not be a stranger to your covenant. And when I say a stranger, something that's strange, you don't understand it, do you? If you see somebody walking in your yard that you don't know, you say, it's a stranger. Do you open up the door wide open for a stranger? No, you kind of, well, a lot of people don't even open up the door. They kind of peek through the peephole and go, I don't know them. They're not coming in. Even if you do open up the door, you've got 1 foot behind the door. You got it open up just a little and go, can I help you? We need to get so familiar with our covenant that when we see the covenant, we swing the door wide open. We say, come on in. I've been waiting on you to get here. That's what we do with people that we are familiar with, don't we? If any of you walked up to my house, I'm going to open up the door for you. I'm not going to go, I don't know. They look kind of strange. No, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to say, come on in. Because I'm familiar with you. You're familiar with me. Folks, we need to be familiar with our covenant. And again, I understand that the whole issue of blood here in America is strange. But we need to get past the strange part and realize that it is biblical, that it is godly, and that the blood covenant is something we need and must have a full understanding of to receive the things that God has for us. Let's stand and let's pray. Father, I come before you, and I, first of all, I thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ. Through his blood, Father, not only do I have remission of sin, but I have been brought into the blood covenant relationship that brings me not only back into your family, but it brings me back in as a blood brother. God, I know that to our ears, this topic is strange and it's foreign. But I'm asking you today, Father, to give us a desire to go study this in depth and to get familiar with it and to understand it to the point that we get fully persuaded that what you said in your word is exactly what you will do. And that we'll be bold in our faith. Just like you told us, Father, we can come boldly before your throne. We can do that because of the blood covenant. Father, I just pray that anyone here this morning that has a need, that you'd give them the boldness and the courage that they need to bring that need before you this morning. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.